chapter 15. It's nice to have you guys back with us this morning. All right. Kurt was going to bridge all the songs because we got started a little bit late. But anyway, want to welcome all of you here. Are we good on the, I didn't see your signal there. Want to welcome those of you on our live stream or anybody who might be watching this after the fact. We appreciate you tuning in and being a part of our ministry here remotely. So this morning, Eli, let's go ahead and bring up in-house the PowerPoint. We don't need to show this online if we can do that. Can we do that? Only show it in-house and not online? Those of you that are online, I'm going to be going through a PowerPoint presentation here this morning, and this will be available on the church's website after the fact, but we are going to have it up in-house for the benefit of those who are here. So this is the way that we do our annual meeting, okay? So it's going to be a little bit different than a normal Sunday morning, but it's important that everybody understands sort of where the church is at. And so a number of years ago, I started to call this the State of the Assembly Address, where we went through where the church stands. For those of you who aren't aware of it, last October, the church celebrated its 15th anniversary. Grace Life Bible Church was started 15 years ago now in the year 2007, the fall of 2007, and we met for the first time down the road here in the cafeteria of Apex Spring and Stamping, Brother Nash's manufacturing facility. We moved into this building in November of 2008, and we've been here ever since, okay? And we've been endeavoring to do the work of the ministry here in this area of West Michigan and to stand for the distinctive message and ministry of the Apostle Paul, okay? And to rightly divide the word of truth and to proclaim and to teach the dispensational understanding of the scriptures, and to do so clearly, okay? And we are a church, if you're not aware of it, we obviously have a lot of people that are joining us remotely, but the church here, the people that attend in person from Sunday to Sunday, we are spread out all over the area, all right? We are spread out. We got people coming from Holland. We've got people coming from Grand Haven. We have people coming sometimes all the way from Lansing, all the way up north from the Howard City area, Sparta, all over the place. People come here to be a part of this assembly, to be a part of this local church. And so when we started talking about doing a meeting like this, it only made sense to do it on a Sunday, to make it a little bit special, to have a reception, to celebrate the anniversary of the church. And the reason for that is you're all coming here today. If we were to do this meeting midweek, a lot of you might not be able to make it back in. And it's important for us to understand where the church sits and where we stand, not only financially, but also ministry-wise on what's going on. So I want to share a few things, the structure of today. And by the way, we also have people online who care about this ministry, support this ministry financially, want to know what's going on with this ministry, ask questions from time to time about how they can help, etc. And we are live streaming it because those people have the right to know what goes on and to hear the reports and to understand where things are. Romans chapter 15. This church was founded on the idea of duplicating Paul's ministry strategy. Okay? When Paul got saved in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus, were there any Gentile churches in the first century Roman world? There were none. There were no churches that existed when Paul got saved on the road to Damascus in Acts 9, okay? He is saved on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. He's commissioned by the appearing from heaven's glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given a message and a gospel and apostleship that he's going to be sent to the nations, okay, to the Gentiles, to all nations, to every man with this ministry. When Paul writes Romans 15, when he writes the book of Romans, he writes it somewhere around Acts chapter 20, okay? It is written somewhere around Acts chapter 20 in the Acts chronology. Look at what he says here. Drop down Romans chapter 15 and get with me verse 17. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. Now watch this next phrase. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now I say this every year and I always forget to do it. I should have included a map. But if you think of the area, starting with Jerusalem and going all the way up around the Mediterranean area, into the Aegean, across into Macedonia and into Greece, when he says this statement here in verse 19, when he says, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, he says that he has fully saturated and indoctrinated the gospel, that area with the gospel, so that he has nowhere else to go in those parts. Okay? Look at verse 20. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, watch, not where Christ was named. So did Paul want to go and labor and work where people already knew who Christ was? Or did he take the gospel out to regions beyond who'd never heard the name of Christ? Okay? And he says explicitly in verse 20, yea, so that I have strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. He does not want to build on the foundation of those that went before him. He is blazing a new trail with the gospel among the Gentiles. And he says that from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel. Drop down to verse verse 32. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. So when he looks at the situation, and he surveys the territory and the land and where he's been and what he's done and where the gospel has gone and so forth, when he looks at that area, he says, there's nowhere in this space that I have not shared what? The gospel. He explicitly says it in verse 23. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come see you, notice verse 24, whensoever I take my journey into where? Spain. Does Paul intend to press the gospel further west through Rome all the way into Spain? Now, historians and theologians debate whether that actually ever happened. Because after this, he's going to go to Jerusalem where he's going to get arrested, and he's going to end up ultimately by the end of the book of Acts in Rome under house arrest. There's a period of time where Paul is released from jail and he does a few more things. We don't know for sure where he went or what he did. We know what he did. He preached the gospel. We just don't know where he may have went before he was rearrested and ultimately executed. But my point in highlighting these passages is that Paul has a strategy. He has something that he's trying to accomplish. And when he looks out across a map of the first century Mediterranean world, he literally says, I've been there, I've been there, I've been there, I've been there. Okay, I'm going to go here next. And when I go there, I'm going to go through Rome. I'm going to visit you guys here, the Romans, when I make my journey into Spain. Okay, and so Paul has a strategy. The strategy that Paul has, come over to the book of Acts. The strategy that Paul has is to evangelize in cities. He's going to evangelize, he's going to preach the gospel in strategic metropolitan areas of the first century Roman world that would then allow him to establish ministries there, ground those ministries, and that those ministries could then reach out into the surrounding areas. Okay? Now, I'm not a genius, I don't claim to be a genius, but when we decided, when myself and Wayne and Craig Holcomb and Todd Smith and some of the other brothers and Ernie sat down to talk about the church and where we were going to put the church, I said it needs to be in Grand Rapids. And the reason the church needs to be in Grand Rapids is because this is the leading metropolitan area of West Michigan. And putting the church here would allow the church to extend out and to reach out into the surrounding areas. And look what's happened. Okay? Has it worked? Have we brought people in from all over the area? This is a unique church. This church is not situated immediately in a neighborhood. Okay, this is not a neighborhood church in the traditional sense, right? A lot of churches, they sit in a neighborhood, and a church can have ministry with the families immediately in that neighborhood, or at least attempt to do that. This church, this building is just not, it's on a main road. There's not a lot of neighbors necessarily nearby. We've done some things over the years to try to connect with the folks around here, but my point is, we put the church here to reach out, because this is what Paul does. Look at Acts 14. In Acts 14, Paul has gone through, notice, this is his first apostolic journey, Acts chapter 14, look at verse 20. It says, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and on the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now look at verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that, what? City, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Notice, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we through much tribulation, that we should much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders, plural, in every what? City. Paul's strategy is to go into a metropolitan area, evangelize the area, get some people saved, work with those people, identify men who are able to be the leadership structure, elders, entrust the work to that eldership so that he can then move on to the next city and go duplicate the same thing. Paul has a strategy, and the way he's able to accomplish in Romans 15, saying that from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I fully preached the gospel, it's because he's working a methodical strategy, and we have been based on trying to duplicate that, starting with edification. It's one of the goals of this church to edify the saints of all ages in Pauline sound doctrine and the principles of the grace life. Come over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Come over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look with me at verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Notice the generational passing on of the truth there that's happening with Timothy. His grandma knew it. It's passed on to his mother. And does his mother pass it on to him? Okay, go to chapter 3. Is there a buzz? It's just my electric personality. What is it? Ah, the fans. I thought it was me. Whoa. Wasn't me this time. Anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It is the job of the local church to edify people in sound doctrine, to teach the word of God. Second principle is the idea of being the body or one anothering. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to have some more to say about this later on, this idea, just establishing here and reminding us of what would be sort of the core principles of the assembly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. For whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Are we all members of the body of Christ? Are we all members one of another? Okay. Third, then, is the principle of training faithful men. Come over to back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So what I'm doing here, folks, is I'm just reminding us of where we came from and why we exist as a church, and what our core values are as a church. And we have tried to root all of them in the Pauline ministry model set forth by our apostle. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, watch, the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others what? Also, my ministry is not complete. My ministry is not a success unless I am able to bestow into the lives of other men the information, the doctrine, the understanding of the Word of God, and allow for them to then be also able to teach who? To teach others also. The same information, okay, that's going to be passed on in that way. And then we need to also, fourthly, enlist, identify men who are established in the faith to aid in the edification, encouragement, and establishing of other saints, i.e. elders and deacons. And then also the idea then, fifthly, of evangelism, okay? Properly edified and mature saints will have a heart for evangelism and seeing lost souls get saved and doing the work of an evangelist. You're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 5. He says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." So everything we do as an assembly needs to be judged on the basis of these five core principles and should be tied back to these five scriptural priorities. Now, we are not perfect. We don't always get everything right, okay? We are a church and an organization made up of people who sometimes, you know, from time to time, we, you know, miss the mark on certain things. We don't always maybe one another as well as we should, or, you know, those sorts of things, right? But this is our, these are our goals. These are our priorities of where we are trying to be and what we are trying to do and accomplish as a ministry, okay? So I want to talk a little bit about where we were last year, okay? So this is reflecting on 2022, year 15 of the church, all right? So I would say that we, by and large, have returned to our pre-COVID operation. We have had all of our normal fellowships. We've had all of our normal meals. There have been no changes made to the calendar of events that we have as a church like there were, okay? Last year, I presented to you at this time the idea that we were an aging church and that we had some folks who had been doing some things for a long time, even up to 14 years, who had come forward and said that they were not able anymore to do what they had been doing previous because of changes in their life circumstances and, you know, age just, you know, leading to other limitations, etc. As a result, we put out some appeals last year, and Eli Stewart has came forward and agreed to become a deacon. Eli is serving under Dave Amaral's leadership as a deacon, and we've appreciated that. Will Kemperman and Mark Gruters have agreed to become elders in the prior year. Jenny Rixey became our new kitchen lead last year. Lolly resigned and stepped down, and that created a situation where we needed to fill that role, and Jenny graciously agreed to do that. Amy Donaldson became our teen event coordinator, and there were 8 events that occurred with the teens during the school year of 2021-2022. They included the barn ministry. I don't remember what that one was, but okay. The corn maze and chili night, the hand-to-hand packing for charity, the winter retreat, the roller skating, the fundraiser with the car wash and the silent auction. You remember the fundraiser? There was a lake outing at the Rixies, and then there was a trip to Michigan Adventure by the teenagers. And you guys know that Charity Dornboss has continued to serve as the superintendent for the Children's Church Ministry. Okay, last year, one book was published from This Generation Forever, Volume 1. Volume 2 is at the editor right now, by the way. I'm hoping that thing comes out before the end of March. So just be aware of that. I finished rebroadcasting the Grace History Project on YouTube, and I am in the process of continuing to migrate other content over to our channel, okay? Those of you who remember the Prices, Norm and Beverly Price, they were part of the church for a long time. Norm was taking the church's videos and putting them on his YouTube page, and what I have done is start to move all that stuff over. So if you follow the church's YouTube page or my Facebook page, and I talk about rebroadcasting something at 9 a.m., that's what I'm talking about. Taking an old video that I've moved over to our church's YouTube page that I'm rebroadcasting, okay? So that is going on. We grew the size of our streaming ministry. So there's some statistics here. Fortunately, I don't have Mark's percentage increases written down. But if you look at there, YouTube, when we started counting, December 4th, 2021, we had 2,148 subscribers. As of this morning when I looked, we have 2,789 subscribers. So that has grown. We've eclipsed 100,000 hours of viewing on our YouTube channel. That was interesting. I thought that that graphic would stay, but they took it down pretty quick. I'll be honest with you, and this is just me talking, okay? I didn't understand YouTube until the pandemic. One good thing that came out of the pandemic is I learned how to do YouTube. There's stuff that you need to be doing on YouTube to grow a YouTube ministry, and one of them is you need to be putting content on there regularly. If you've noticed that during the week, I almost always release a midweek video. And that has helped to build an identity and foster things. When we hit 100,000 views late last year, I got this big report. And unfortunately, I forgot to save it because I didn't think they'd take it away so fast. But it was a timeline of when the YouTube channel started going all the way through. And there's a huge spike in the number of people watching it that started right in March 2020 when we went on lockdown. From March 2020 till now, the numbers on that graphic were higher than they ever were at any point in the 11 years of the whole YouTube ministry before that. Okay? The other thing I want to say, last year, 2022, what do you think the two highest viewed videos were that the church put out? You're not going to guess, so I'm just going to tell you, okay? The first one was the video that I did exposing the plagiarism of another ministry. That video has almost 3,000 views, okay? The second highest was the one that I did right after Christmas or right at the beginning of the new year on my thoughts on the rapture. That one has 1,300 views, okay? Why am I mentioning this? It's an unfortunate thing that the body of Christ at large seems to thrive and want to watch controversy. They want to watch hockey fights online between ministries. That's what they want. And I'm telling you, there's a real temptation there that when you see that, to think to yourself, you know, if we were just a little more controversial, if we were just a little more sensational, if we weren't so based in just expositing the text of the Bible, you could draw in more viewers. You could draw in more people, okay? I know that you guys are going to be shocked by this, but not everybody in Cyberland likes me very much, okay? Some people think I'm too intellectual. They think I'm too scholarly. They think that I'm trying to complicate things and not just stick to what the Bible says. Last Sunday when I'm talking about the difference between nouns and verbs, and I'm talking about the perfect tense and, you know, all this stuff. Not everybody likes that very much. And so but if you look at these statistics, this growth pattern to me is a real growth pattern of people who are here for the right reason. And that is they want to hear the word preached. And there's a temptation there to be sensational and to be over the top and to be controversial, to try to generate more, you know, angst and generate more oomph and so forth and attention. And then we also started a Rumble ministry, and you can see the statistics on that. Also last year in 2022, the year 15, we launched our online bookstore, Grace Life Press. I continued making the midweek messages. We had the Bible reading challenge, where we were reading Paul's epistles. And there are some of you, if you are willing, I would like to make a video still of the experiences that members of the assembly had in their Bible reading challenge when they did this. I've talked to a few of you about it already. I want to maybe explore that a little bit more. We had a Bible conference. Something that's been going on behind the scenes that has taken up a lot of time is we have collaboratively produced an organizational document for the children's ministry. And some concerns were brought to our attention that then prompted us to investigate and to try to bring some guidance to that. I continue to mentor some of the other men in the church for teaching, trying to build that capacity. And we also began supporting Des Stridham as a missionary to Africa during last year. So a lot of things happened. A lot of things have occurred. All right? So that brings us to the financial report, and I'm going to ask Daryl to come up, and I'm going to ask Will and Mark if they can assist Daryl in passing out copies of the financial report. But here's our board organization. I'm the teaching elder. Daryl is the treasurer. Mark is the secretary. Will is the children's ministry overseer. And Wayne is the wise elder statesman that, you know, tells us what where we're when and where we are needing to be corrected. So I'm going to turn it over to Daryl, and he's going to go over where the church stands financially.
Morning, everyone. I'm actually glad it's snowing and not raining. I mean, it is winter, so it's nice to see a little bit of snow out there. Just give the guys a few more minutes to finish passing these out. As always, for the sake of time, I'm going to ask that we hold any questions until after the meeting. I'll be available at any time and more than willing to discuss any questions, concerns, comments that you may have about the report. So feel free to hit me up afterwards. Always interested in looking into the numbers if anybody has any questions there. So this report is based on an entire year's worth of data, so we're trying to condense that and keep it to a reasonable amount so we can get through the report here. So this is, again, for the fiscal year 2022, so that's January 1st to December 31st of last year. If you flip over to the first page, as Brian was doing, this is just kind of a look back at some of the things that, from a project standpoint and a treasury standpoint, that we've been working with. It's definitely been a challenging year trying to work with vendors who are hampered by supply chain issues. We still don't have our new microphone system. We started that in 2021. It went through all of 2022, and we are still waiting to get our new microphone system. We started working with CTI to address the microphone problem, and due to Brian's prompting, which was a good idea and wise at the time, we decided not to delay the video upgrade project we had been talking about until after we got the microphones, because we'd still be waiting to get that project started. So about mid-year, we contracted with CTI to upgrade our video system both in-house and on the live stream, and this project aims to correct several issues as well as provide enhanced functionality. The total project cost for that was just shy of $28,500. To date, we've made a 60% down payment on that project, and we're waiting on CTI to finish getting all of the equipment, get the system set up in their labs, test it, and then bring it here and then get it installed. Also, in the third quarter, we contracted with Parkway Electric to add some additional security cameras to our current system. So this is really just adding some three exterior and one interior camera to the system that we already have, just to provide a little bit broader coverage so that we can see things that are going on both inside and outside the building. That project came in at just shy of $5,000. These vendors know that they have supply chain issues, so to date, we have not paid anything for that. They've gone ahead, placed all of the orders, and they're just waiting on the suppliers to be able to get the equipment and put those cameras in place for us, so we're still waiting on that one. And the biggest change, probably financially, that we made is, if a lot of you remember, we had a Merrill Lynch investment account. And we've had that account for a few years, and we were kind of setting up to use that as a long-term savings goal to build stability behind the financial side of the ministry. We did close that account, and we moved the money into a new account that we opened with Vitality with the help of Mark Gruters. So those who don't know, Mark is a financial planner. So we decided that we would take that money, move it over there, and then continue with Mark as our investment advisor to continue to grow that fund, and we'll, throughout the course of the year, as finances allow, we'll add money to that account. So that's kind of a look back. If you go to the next sheet, we'll kind of get into a little bit of the numbers here. So this is what the balance sheet for the year. So this kind of just gives a high-level picture of where we're at the end of the year. So this is as of December 31st, 2022. You can see our checking account was just a hair over 45,000. And then total liquid assets, like all that really means is that that's funds that if we had to, we could go to the bank and get it. It's their savings accounts, checking accounts, stuff like that. So that was at 51.3. And then this is the Fidelity brokerage account that I was just referencing under Mark's advisement. And at the end of the year, that balance was $35,430. And then down at the bottom of the page there, if you look at total liabilities, that $1,743, that's really just the revolving credit card debt. So that's every month we have some amount of credit card debt. It was a little high that month, and that was really just due to the Christmas fellowship and things that were bought for that, food, et cetera. But it's somewhere, probably averages, you know, just somewhere between 1,000, 1,200 is kind of an average number for that. If you flip over to the next page, so this is the beginning of the income and the expense report. So this is where we get into a little bit more kind of details of what's going on from looking at the big picture of it. So the first couple items there is the primary sources of income. So local saints, so that's basically everybody that comes here on a regular basis, people that have a local connection, even if they don't necessarily come every Sunday, they still support the ministry financially. And that income came in at $87,637. And then remote saints is kind of like what it means, what it is. They're remote, people who don't have a local connection. They don't live in this area. They don't come to church here. They mainly are benefited by the online and the YouTube ministry, the live streaming and stuff like that. And all of those folks contributed $22,786. Just of an interesting note, it's not highlighted there, but the Amazon Smile, if you see that 164.15, that's the Amazon Smile donation program, which if maybe, I know Wayne saw it and I saw it, they are actually ending that program in about a month. So they're no longer going to allow us, like as a church, to become a charity and have you contribute a portion of your, purchases there, so just be aware of that for future. Then the total income came in at just a hair under $116,400. And then we'll just kind of run through some of these expenses, and this is where, you know, there's a whole year's worth of data behind all of these. I try to just highlight some of the key aspects of our expenses throughout the year. I probably don't have to tell anybody in here that the cost of everything is going up. So this is just some information based on some of our key expenses. So the Bible conference came in just a hair over 3,000. That was the total cost for everything that was involved there. The lawn care, just to note there, I mean, $4,053 might seem like a lot of money, but that's full lawn care, full fertilization program, fall cleanup, bed maintenance, rebarking, irrigation system, everything. So it's one company, and they do a whole package for us for the entire outside of the building. So it really does come up to be a pretty good value when you look at it that way. The next expense I highlighted is just the insurance. So this is one of those items that just every year, and especially the last couple of years, they've just jumped their prices. So we're almost paying $5,000 a year now, just for basic insurance for the building and the insurances that we have to have for liability and stuff like that. If you flip over to the next page, just some expenses here to highlight. The postage expense, really, that's our P.O. box renewal. Try to do everything online as far as paying bills and stuff like that, using credit cards, phones. So we really don't have a whole lot of postage, so just note that that is or the P.O. box. And then the next one, the software. Over the last several years, a lot of software companies have switched to an annual subscription style where you don't get to just buy the software and use it for the next 10 years. It's every year you got to pay for that subscription. So this is a kind of a category that's been creeping up a little bit, and that $930 includes QuickBooks, which is the accounting software we use to make these reports. It includes the Dropbox, where the board keeps all of our records and files, Microsoft Office, Carbonite for backup, AGV security. So just be aware those are the kinds of things that fall under that software category. And then under the live stream, so we just kind of try to capture some of the costs that are going out in the live stream, and that came in at just under, or just $1,763. And really, that's all of the software services that we have to pay to be able to live stream. So that's not like our internet service. That's just things like Boxcast and other software that allow us to put the message out there. And then the next one that's highlighted there is the pastor's 2022 salary or housing allowance. So that came in for last year at $31,200. The board did make a decision this year based on the financial support that we've been seeing in our effort to continue working towards having Pastor Brian become a full-time pastor here and to acknowledge all of the good work that he's done throughout the year. We did, as a board, decide to increase that 10% going into next year. So his housing allowance or salary for next year will be $34,320. If you flip over to the next page, just a couple more highlighted things here. So the audio-visual upgrade projects, that $17,625, that's the 60% of the video project that we started in 2022. So that's sort of the down payment. They did have to have a down payment for that because of all of the gear that needed to be purchased to get that in place. And just a note with that, you're probably not going to see like massive changes, like the TV screens, everything's going to stay in place. It's more kind of the connecting stuff, making everything work more smoothly, giving Brian a little bit more control from the pulpit when he wants to show his tablet, those kinds of things. So then the last item there is total expenses, and that was $94,425. So if you're going to flip over to the next page, this is kind of just a look forward, some of the things that we're thinking about for this year and some updates. So audio and video projects, came back from the holiday break and actually got a call and an email from CTI that they feel that they had all of the gear in place and we're looking to get something set up to actually get an install and get this done. So the new audio solution, including the wireless microphones and the new video solution to address in-house monitor lag, streaming quality, all those kinds of things, other enhancements, tentatively, knock on wood, it is scheduled to be installed January 30th through February 12th, or February 2nd. So just keep that in your thoughts and prayers that that all goes well and we can get that installed, because that would be a huge win to just kind of get that project off our books, get it paid for, and move on and see what else that we want to do. As far as the security system, again, we hope that Parkway can procure the new security cameras and get them installed in a timely fashion. Don't have any new updates this year on that, but as soon as they get the cameras and can install them, I'm sure they'll get a hold of us because they want to get paid just like everybody else does. And then just another note on the security system, both Dave Amaral and Eli Stewart, they now have remote access to our EPS security system. So if you do need to get access to the building, I'm not the only one that can do it anymore. I'll still have the capability, but we kind of want to transition that to both Dave and Eli. So if you don't have a four-digit code to disarm it and you need to come in the building, just get a hold of one of those men and they will help you get access to the building. One thing we do want to stress as a board is to just continue to be aware of the one anothering funds. Obviously, the past year financially and the unknown going into this year, from a financial standpoint, we do have money that we set aside in the budget that we're always willing to provide financial assistance to those that may need a little bit of help. It's completely confidential, and you can just reach out to myself or Pastor Brian. For example, if somebody were to reach out to me, like I would bring it to the board that there was a one anothering need and how much money we think we might need to give, and that's it. And as long as the board doesn't have any, you know, issues with it, which I'm sure surely they wouldn't, you know, we would provide that financial assistance. So just keep that in mind and utilize it as need. You know, obviously the uncertainty of this year and the increasing costs of everything is kind of hit everybody a little bit harder. So we want to be able to help out wherever we can. And even if it's something as, you know, getting a $50 gas card to alleviate that burden for a week or two, you know, please just reach out and ask. And then ideas, the board is always open to hear your ideas and suggestions of what you would like to see happening at Grace Life Bible Church. Over the last couple of years, we've done a lot with the building, you know, a new carpet, new parking lot, painting. But if you see anything that you think needs to be addressed or new ideas you'd like to see us work on, please reach out and let us know. And then if you flip over to the last page there, this is just kind of what we do is a quote-unquote proposed budget. And as I've said a lot of times now, the cost of everything's kind of just been really going up, so a lot of these numbers have adjusted. For example, we don't know the costs of the new like EPS monitoring and stuff like that because they haven't given us the new contracts yet. So there could be a lot of increases on smaller things like that. But I just tried to highlight a few things here, some of the key expenses. So as Brian had just mentioned, the mission support there, we decided as a board that we were going to start supporting Des Strydom and his South Africa mission with $100 a month contribution. So that obviously equates to $1,200 for the year or $23 weekly. And then the housing allowance at $34,320, that is reflective of the 2023 increase that the board voted for Brian. And then down at the bottom, there's the audio-video project and the security camera. So the approximate remaining balance on those is about $25,000. So once those projects get installed, you know, they'll have to be paid for. Obviously, we have the funds already kind of earmarked for that, or we wouldn't have went ahead with those projects. But just to be aware that that cost is there and it is coming. And then, with the adjustment of a lot of the other costs, just minor increases to keep up with inflation and stuff like that, our total income goal projected for this coming year is $111,820 or $2,150 per week. And just to give the reference of that, last year's goal was $1,800. So it's about $350 a week increase. But last year we far exceeded our goal. So we're obviously just trying to keep moving forward, keep doing projects, keep increasing, you know, the parsonage allowance to help Brian out. And so, appreciate all the support. And it's a blessing for me as treasurer to not have to worry about, do we have enough money to pay for things? It's what things do we want to do with the funds that are given to us as an assembly. So in closing, I want to thank everyone for your continued generous support and read 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Daryl. As Daryl mentioned, if you have any questions about a particular item or whatever, he'll be around eating cake with the rest of us here shortly. So if you want to approach him about something, please make sure that you do that. I want to take a minute at this point to thank the elders of this church. Daryl's treasury skills are amazing. You can see the reports. He presents a monthly report every month in the board meeting that goes down to the penny of where we stand at the end of every month. So this report here is a cumulative report for the whole year. Will's involvement with the children's ministry and bringing structure around some things there. Mark, his recent producing of the minutes as the secretary, and Wayne's faithfulness over 15 years of ministry. These guys do a lot, and they're not getting anything for it other than your gratitude and to serve the Lord. So I appreciate them. I appreciate what they do, not only to help me out, but to serve all of you. And they need to be commended for that. And I hope that you can express appreciation to them for what they're doing and how they contribute to the work of the ministry. And that's true for everybody that does anything around here, okay? This church does and accomplishes what it does because of people and what we do together, all right? And that's a fact. And, you know, we are a small church. We don't have more than about 100 people here on any given Sunday, but we are making an impact out there far greater than what you would think just looking around here. And that is a great thing. So I want to end this by giving a few thoughts on looking forward. Okay. Ministry needs an update for 2023 as we are still in the first month of the new year. Number one, just a reminder, please try to be on time for church. The band and the musicians put in a lot of work to prepare and to be ready for leading the service, the singing, etc. And just it always makes for a better time if everybody is here and in their spot on time. So that's just a general encouragement as we worship together. We always are in need of volunteers to possibly help in different aspects of the children's ministry. That always continues to be an ongoing need, as you know, if you look in the bulletin. And I would ask you, I'd ask you to consider participating in the different fellowships, all right? Whether it be the men's breakfast, I know my wife has a few ladies' fellowships planned here in the near future, the various fellowship meals that we have here at the church throughout the year, and the Lord's Supper, which I'll say more about here in a minute, okay? Well, I'll say more about it right now. We are going to have, if you recall, we had changed the format of the Lord's Supper to having a meal together as a church right before COVID, okay? And then COVID came, and that kind of just stopped all of that. And we are of the mind to have and reinstitute the Lord's Supper potluck meal on, we're going to do it twice this year, once on May 7th and once on August 6th. And the format is going to be truly potluck. The idea is to have this be as low-key as we can for the kitchen staff, for the different people involved, where you bring in what you want to share. We have a service together, and we enjoy and partake in a meal together following the service, okay? That is going to be the format for the Lord's Supper, and we're going to do that twice this year in addition to the other things that we're going to do. We're still going to do the Easter breakfast. We're still going to do the conference meal, the Christmas fellowship, different things, obviously, that we would normally do. But we're going to have these meals, these Lord's Supper meals, on May 7 and August 6 following the service. So you need to stay tuned for more information on that. Those of you that are parents of teens, you need to keep your eyes and ears peeled on the teen events front. The idea is for there this year to be an event every other month. We had an event in December, the hand-to-hand charity food packing. And then there's next month, the teen retreat. So February is the next teen event. And then the idea is for there to be one every other month. And we're going to try to schedule those 2 months in advance so that everybody knows when those events are. All right. Amy is looking for people who can help volunteer to host some of these events. So you need to keep your ears and eyes peeled for information coming out about that. And if you have any questions or would like to propose an event or help organize an event, you're going to want to see Amy Donaldson on that, on the idea of teen events, all right? You also need to be aware of the fact that we are in the process of implementing some structural changes in the children's ministry. One of the concerns we had was around the allocation of time for the teaching of the word to the young people and acts, activities, crafts, that sort of thing. So we are going to be using a 40-20 principle that if there's going to be an activity, it would be 20 minutes and the bulk of the time would be allocated for the lesson time and the teaching of the word. So that covers the statement there about crafts. The same would be true of the Christmas program. There's been guidance that has been put in place for when a Christmas program needs to be proposed and what that would look like, as well as information about the Teen Service Sunday and the activity day for the young people, which would be on the fifth Sunday of every month, so that would be four times a year. If you have any questions about any of that, you need to see Will Kemperman. And then this is a big one, okay? It was brought to my attention late last year that some folks felt like we were lacking a little bit as an assembly in the area of one anothering. And that's been on my mind ever since I had that conversation. I want to just say that we're looking for some ideas, possibly some help for how to extend one anothering, okay? Beyond just, we have money, the church has money that people have given to help other saints with things that they're struggling with from a financial standpoint. We have a card ministry. We have some things going on that we're talking about, looking at expanding or looking at, you know, what are the criteria for who gets a card and when and some of those sorts of things. But if you have a need, you need to let us know, okay? And it truly is, as Daryl said, not a judgment situation, not a situation where you have to feel bad about it, but there are people from this church that have given the church money with the goal of trying to help people out who need it. And so we want to make sure that we do that. And we're also looking for some ideas for how we could improve the general one another in concept overall and how we can extend that and include other things into the new year on that point. Okay. So these are just some things that we want you to be aware of as we move into the new year. Now, I'm probably going to do what I did last year, probably synthesize this down and have a bulletin insert maybe for a few weeks. So if somebody has missed this presentation, they sort of know some of this information. And the last thing I want to do is just give you a couple of reminders about just general business. Please submit. If you have something that you would like for the board to consider, please submit it for the board's consideration in writing before a meeting. The meetings are always published in the bulletin. They're announced from the pulpit. Excuse me, they're on the events on the website. We are totally upfront on when all of these things are happening. And just a reminder also about the board's procedure. The meetings, when we have a meeting, are divided, unless it's announced otherwise, into an open portion where anybody can attend. It is in the open portion that the financial report is given, that we go over the minutes from the previous meeting, we hear new proposals, and we review old business in the open portion of the meeting. Anybody from this assembly is able to come at any point to hear any of that information or to make a proposal during the open portion. And that typically, we try to run that from 9 to 10. And then in the second half of the meeting, it's closed for the board's discretion to use the time to address, you know, whatever there's on the agenda that we need to address. Sometimes there's confidential matters. Sometimes there's things that it's not appropriate to discuss in the open meeting. And so we do that in the closed meeting. Okay. And then help promote the ministry. Use social media to promote the church if you would. Nothing makes me happier than when I walk off of this pulpit and I look at Facebook and some of you have already shared the message, like while it's being preached. All of that stuff helps immensely with, you know, getting an awareness of our message in front of people. So if you are open and willing to sharing the website, sharing the live streaming, the YouTube, etc., all of that helps promote the church, okay? As always, talk to your friends and family about the gospel of grace of God and invite them to church, okay? Making those contacts and inviting them to church is a huge deal. And embrace the need for fellowship and support of like-minded saints when we have those opportunities for that kind of fellowship, like we're going to have shortly by having cake, okay? And last, I just want to say thank you to everybody, all right? This church does not make it 15 years. And let me tell you something. There were times where I was not at all sure that we would be able to continue. Financially and for other reasons, it just, there were times where it was really dicey about what the future might look like. The only reason we have made it thus far is by the grace of God and by the saints being faithful and their support of the work of the ministry. And I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about time commit. I'm talking about time donations, skills, all different things that it would be impossible for me to even encapsulate all the different things that have happened over 15 years' time to get us to where we are. Okay? And I will say, at least for the immediate future, the investigation into me becoming a full-time pastor, we are not there yet, and we are. It probably is going to be a little while before we are. So I am going to continue to do what I've done since the church started, to work a secular job and do my best to teach and preach to you guys both here on Sundays and create content for your edification midweek from my house. I appreciate the musicians, the elders, the teachers, the people who work in the sound booth, charity for organizing the children's ministry, the kitchen staff, all the different people that are part of what's going on here. The teen events, just, we are, this truly is a church where we are in it together, and that is something that we need to appreciate and just really be grateful for what everyone else has done for the ministry. So that brings us to the end of the meeting. I'm going to have a word of prayer. As I do that, the musicians can come up. We'll have a closing song as normal. And then when we're done, we'll be dismissed for our cake and ice cream celebration for our 15-year anniversary. So please make sure that you stick around for the fellowship. Lord, thanks for this day. Thanks for the opportunity that we have to lay out the business of the church. We're grateful for the honor and the privilege of being able to do the work of the ministry, to have the tools, the resources, the support that has been given over the years. Lord, we are truly grateful for all the different people that have contributed in all the different ways that they've done so. We are in days that are uncertain. As I said in a message a week ago, it's getting darker and darker out there in the world, which means we have an opportunity and a responsibility to continue to just hold forth the word of life, to continue to just stand here, hold up the scriptures, teach the scriptures, preach the scriptures, and let this area know that the truth of the word of God has not gone away, that it is still here, and that there are still people who care about it, stand for it, and are willing to teach it. Lord, we pray for those in authority over us, as we're instructed to do in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we pray to the extent that we might be able to live a quiet and a peaceable life with all godliness and honesty. We're grateful for the opportunity and the freedom that we have to do what we're doing. We pray that it will continue, and we'll pray that we will take full advantage of the ability that we have to do so. Lord, we're grateful for these things this morning in Christ's name.